This podcast, written, performed, and produced by The Bivol, is brought to you by the above top secret family of websites. www.abovetopsecret.com.
You're listening to a From the Left podcast. Now, where are my pants?
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Today is Thursday, January 18, 2007. Welcome to the Big O Show. I am your host, the Big O. Got a couple things to go down today. Of course, we always have a couple things to go down. Going to talk a little American Idol. Talk about the Venice Project, otherwise known as Juiced. Some Transformers news. A little about Honda and some interesting stuff from the Pew Internet Project. But first up is American Idol. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my day. My days basically start with me getting up. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's how everybody's day starts, is by waking up. So then I go to work, come back from work, go to the gym, come back from the gym, eat, and then I'm off to do whatever I want, play Xbox, mess around on the computer, fart around on Above Top Secret, whatever. But come 8 o'clock, I have to come down from the loft, which is where all my my toys are, for lack of a better term, and join my fiance down in the bedroom. Now, I don't mean that in a naughty way, so to speak. But she's usually down there watching TV or doing something on her laptop or whatever. She's a teacher, so she's grading papers. Whatever. She, you know, sitting in the bed. So I'll come down with my my laptop and join her. Or sometimes I'll read or listen to music or draw or mess around with the podcast or whatever, you know, do things on my blog, whatnot. Last two nights, American Idol has been on in the background. She usually has the TV on, whether it's, I don't know, Gilmore Girls or some other stuff. She's not a huge American Idol fan, but she's had it on the last two nights because I guess they start off every season with the audition tapes, for lack of. Now, these are pretty funny because it has a lot of people on it who think they can sing and they can't. And it's a good laugh. Arrogant people who think they're ridiculously awesome and are knocked down to their just height by Paula Abdul, I guess. I don't know. At any rate, it's funny. And I guess it does monster ratings, according to everything I've read. But I have to take note with something I find disturbing about at least this segment of the show. They often feature, or at least they have the last two nights, someone or a group of people or a pair of people that have something wrong with them. And by wrong, I mean they have a physical or mental issue, whether it's a deformity or they have poor social skills or something. And it turns it from a good laugh at people being embarrassing to laughing at people because something's wrong with them. And I don't think that's cool. I think it's wrong. And it's not something that needs to be on television. Now, I'll hear people going, "Well, they know what they're getting into, blah, 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 blah." Yeah, it's fine when you're showing somebody who's there because they understand what they're doing. But many of these people that they display, well, I don't know about many of these. That's probably not the term. But several of these people, or at least the ones they featured, are weird because there's an issue with them. And it's not fair to highlight that and make light or comedy out of that. Just respect that they came and had the guts to do it. You don't need to have a laugh at their expense. And I just think that's wrong. And I don't choose to have that television show on anymore. So Simon and the gang, they can take it and shove it up their rears, as far as I'm concerned. But enough on a down note. Let's move to something else television related, shall we? It used to be called The Venice Project. Now it's called Juiced. It's the latest project that Skype and Kazaa founders Nicholas Zennstrom and Johannes Fries are bringing to us. Now, they basically started last year with the idea of a peer-to-peer TV technology. And it was codenamed The Venice Project. Ooh, so cool and crazy. What a neat name, everybody. But basically, as of last week sometime, it's turned into Juice. Now, basically, I got into the beta test, but I can't use it because they don't have it for the Mac. And I can't get it installed on my Windows partition, so go figure. But to anybody out there who's used it, check it out. It's peer-to-peer TV, and it's pretty cool. Near DVD quality, so check it out. If you know if it's any good, shoot me a message. I'd be interested to hear about it. But if not, check out juice.com and sign up for the beta test. When we get back, more shenanigans.
Grow Fast Air Restoration Pills. Guaranteed to regrow your air. You'll have air in places you never thought possible. Be the man you'd always wanted to be. Get all the Sheilas!
Side effects may include dry mouth, headache, dry urea, pyuria, insomnia, impotence, cramps, bloating, frequent urination, and bleeding of the rectum. Foot odor, tooth loss, stroke, tumors the size of grapefruits.
Order 3 is a payment of 99.99.
I'm going to give you a little advice. There's a force in the universe that makes things happen. And all you have to do is get in touch with it. Stop thinking. Let things happen. And be the ball.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We're here with the second part of the show. This is the Big O Show with me, the Big O. Let's get crazy. All right, everybody. I want to start with something I found on Transformers World 2005 today. TWF2005.com for those curious. Turns out Michael Bay's been talking Transformers again, which makes sense since he's making the movie. Anyway, he put some comments up on his blog, which is shootfortheedit.com. Check it out. It's got its own message board. It's pretty interesting. Worth a chuckle or two. Ooh. And so basically, he put a quote up there that says, quote, "I had no idea Transformers would have so many fans around the world. Yahoo reported to Paramount that the Transformers trailer was the most downloaded trailer ever on Yahoo. It had the most the first day and the most the first week. It beat Spider-Man 3 that up till now held that record. We beat them by over 2 million streams. What we found interesting was that an equal number of women viewed it as men. Go figure. Vote to keep Die Hard July 4th, end quote. I don't know what the July 4th Die Hard thing is. Whatever. But I found this quote interesting. Maybe because Michael Bay is such a famous director that he's detached from the reality that us common people have to deal with. But seriously, this is the Transformers we're talking about here. Any male age 25 to 35, anybody who grew up in the 80s knows what the heck the Transformers is. And yes, we're all excited that it's coming to the big screen. I mean, come on. It's like if they were to take, I don't know, Voltron and turn it into a film. Yes, it's not at the same level of Transformers, but it's still got that connection to our youth that people have. And not to mention, you got kids who still watch the offshoots of the shows today, whether it's Transformers Beast Wars or Transformers Armada, or I don't know, I guess there's other ones out there too. I don't really follow it as much anymore as I did when I was a kid, because I'm not a kid anymore. But the bottom line is yes, it has a distinct importance in pop culture, especially 80s pop culture. And anybody who grew up in the 80s really has that close to heart. So I think it's ridiculous that he was surprised that it would be huge. I mean, I don't know if it's on the level of pop culture that Spider-Man is. Probably not. I'm sure it's not. It's definitely not on the level of like a Superman. But as far as, I don't know, if nerdy or internet people go, it does not surprise me that Transformers, or at least the Transformers fan base, would watch it. And not to mention watch, but watch it over and over and over again. I don't buy the statistic about equal number of men and women. Maybe they do it by screen name or whatever, but I find that hard to believe. I don't know any girls who have Transformers toys. I don't know any girls who are looking forward to the movie. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Whatever. But since we're on the topic of Transformers, which in and of themselves are vehicles, let's move into another vehicle, shall we? I was reading the most recent issue, or the February 2007 issue of Motor Trend, and on page 100 and... What page was it? 100 and... Sure as heck wasn't 140. Ah, here we go. 138, they had a one-page write-up on the Honda FCX concept. Now, what's interesting about this vehicle is that it is a hydrogen car. Now, I'm sure everyone's heard the hype about hydrogen. Oh, it's great. It's going to be this amazing thing. Oh, it's
the most amazing science to come out of science and science from science.
You know, or whatever, you know. At any rate, what differentiates this car from all the other promises that we've heard from hydrogen is the fact that Honda said it's going to be in your driveway in 2 years. I was like, wow, that's really a lot sooner than everybody says. So let's give you a gist of it. The car has about 130 horsepower engine based on electric and the hydrogen engine. It's about 4,000 pounds, which is kind of heavy. Let's see here. It's got a 45-gallon tank, which has hydrogen stored at 5,000 PSI. I don't know how it's stored, but they said it takes about 5 minutes to refill. And it can go on about 270 miles on a tank, which is pretty good. I mean, I have a sedan, probably about the same size as this, and I get about that kind of mileage. So it's both a hydrogen engine coupled with an electric engine that stores in its lithium ion battery brake energy, just like the regular what are those vehicles called? The hybrid cars, the Toyota Prius and all that hoo-ha. So I was like, wow, this is really cool. And then I'm thinking, how are you going to get the hydrogen in the vehicle? Sure enough, Motor Trend people asked that, and Honda said, trust us, we're working on it. Now, that led me to think, well, what do you mean working on it? We've heard there's no infrastructure to transport hydrogen. So, you know, that issue, right? Not exactly, because I was thinking, all right, so you got a very limited vehicle base. Obviously, you don't want to make the investment or partner. Well, you might want to partner, but somebody, you're going to have a hard time making the investment yourself or getting somebody to partner with you to make the investment for a very specific and very limited vehicle to roll out this hydrogen countrywide. So I'm thinking, all right, they don't go countrywide. Say they just do the West Coast, where the vast majority of hybrid cars are sold anyways. Then I'm thinking, okay, wait. Let's say they get more specific than that. Let's say they have the actual hydrogen refilling stations at the Honda dealers themselves. Makes sense to me. Most likely these are going to be leased cars anyways. So if you have the hydrogen refueling stations at the Honda dealerships, which or near a Honda dealership, which is going to be where the people who buy this car live anyways, that seems to make sense, and it's going to make it a reality, or it's going to make it a possibility. You've got a very small contained group of people who are going to use it. You know exactly how many cars you're going to need to fuel. You can extrapolate that data into how often they're probably going to fuel based on driving conditions of where the dealerships are made. So you're going to need to know, you're going to be able to control the amount of hydrogen you need to have on hand. So I thought that's probably the way they're going to go. Now, I think that's going to be the way they're going. There's no way to use the statement probably and be able to back it up, because I don't know enough about how this stuff works to be able to say if this is a probability or what the probability is. But to me, it makes sense. What I don't see making sense is partnering with Citgo or BP and having them put in hydrogen pumps for 150 cars in the greater metropolitan LA area. Not going to happen, you know. So what are you going to do? But it's promising. I mean, they're going to bring the hydrogen car, they say, in 2 years to the curbside, as opposed to GM, who says they're hydrogen cars, which are cool, mind you. If you've ever seen the Scientific American Frontiers thing on it, they're pretty neat ones. But GM says not until like 2010, 2012. So what are you going to do? All right, when we get back, we're going to wind up with a Pew Internet study on political use of the Internet in this last election cycle. So stay tuned.
Sometimes where you are is not as important as where you will be. This is Orson Welles for the American Insurance Corporation, reminding you that one out of three Americans will die a violent death within the next 2 years. Some will be killed or disfigured in electrocutions. Some will be destroyed by human stampedes. And the majority will die in grisly auto accidents. We're not trying to scare you. We just want you to know the way things are. The American Insurance Corporation. Concerned because we love you.
Jenny thinks that she has the key to popularity, parking in cars with the boys at night. When Jerry brags about taking Jenny out, he learns that she dates all the boys, and he feels less important.
Bill.
What?
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Oh, that Jenny. She's such a tramp. All right. Coming in for a landing here in the last segment of the show. And I'm a fan of a blog called boingboing.net. And I don't know if anybody else out there has found it, any of the ATSers. But if you haven't had a chance, check it out. It's just a blog of randomness. They got a good staff. Granted, it's a little left, so if you don't like that stuff, be forewarned. But it's still got plenty of stuff on there that I think anybody would find it interesting. But they linked to a or brought up a summary of a story that the Pew Internet Project put together. And it's a report on how the public used the internet and other media during this past election cycle. Now, what their statistics show was that nearly half of all internet users, or basically about 30-31% of the general populace, says they went online to gather some sort of political information and then exchange it via email or whatever. Now, Pew refers to this as to this group as campaign internet users, and it basically comprises like 60 million Americans. So that's a big group of people. Now, about a quarter of these users appear to be forming a new online political elite. Now, that's defined as people who take what they've read and then spread their viewpoints either via blogs or podcasts or message boards or whatever. So basically, ATS and Political Top Secret are included in this new online political elite. So congratulations to everybody out there on Political Top Secret. You are now part of the online political elite. Congratulations. Let's get a round of applause. Okay, there we go. At any rate, both Republicans and Democratic voters were equally likely to say that the internet was their main source of election news, which is 17%, equal in both groups. Now, to put that in perspective, let's take a look at the overall section of people surveyed. Now, of those that voted Republican, 69% got most of their information from all forms of TV. Now, that's obviously Fox is going to be number one with 24%. Local news was second with 22%. And then it filters down 10, 8, 7, 3 with between ABC, NBC, CNN, CBS, and MSNBC in that order. Of those who voted Democratic, 74% said they got most of their information from all forms of TV, which is interesting. Fox was the lowest with the Democrats, or those who voted Democrat, followed by local news at 25%. And then it goes ABC, NBC, CNN are tied, with CNN having a slight edge, and then CBS below that. And then MSNBC was the tanks in both of them. So, which is a shame, because Keith Olbermann, I think, is pretty good. The statistics were interesting when you look at radio, and it had 21% for those who voted Republican versus 14% for those who voted Democratic, which you can probably attribute to talk radio having a more left buzz overall. There are significantly more right-sided AM talk shows, at least. So that would make sense that more of the audience or more people who vote Republican would choose radio as their medium because it's intended for them. So that would make sense. But internet split even, 17% to 17%. So that shows that there's really no edge in either side here. And I think it's pretty easy to find both left and right blogs out there. Now, you've got your famous liberal blogs out there like Daily Kos, which I checked out from time to time. But quite frankly, that's too elite for me. And I can't really get into it too much. But at any rate, check the story out. It's on boingboing.com. It's about 10 posts down. They give a link to the actual article, but it's pretty cool. So that's going to wrap it up for us today. I want to give a special thanks to Above Top Secret for the bandwidth and the hosting. Thanks again. Check it out. The Above Top Secret family of websites, www.abovetopsecret.com, or my favorite part, belowtopsecret.com. And check out my blog, www.fromtheleftcentral.blogspot.com. It's the hub of all of my blogs. I've got stuff on movies, video games, news, political opinion, random images, which I just love to post up images I find on the net. So check those out. I'm always looking for contributors. If you want to write, let me know. Send me a message, and I'll set you up with an account, and you can start posting. So without that, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Please leave a comment. Have a great one. This is the Big O signing off.
Thank you.